following his instructions sincerely. And his principal instructions are to be the humble servant of all other devotees and to sincerely and chant the holy names and to follow the four regulative principles strictly. If you do these three things, you are guaranteed you will go back to Godhead in this life. If you do not do these things, perhaps you will have another opportunity in your next birth. I will repeat, to be the humble servant of all devotees, to sincerely and attentively chant the holy names, and to strictly follow the four regulative principles. Is there any other questions? If you do not sincerely serve all the devotees, it does not matter what else you do. You have to come to that stage. Because you cannot chant the holy name sincerely and attentively without doing that. Krishna will not allow you to do so. He forbids a person who is not the humble servant of all Vaishnavas to chant the name of God sincerely. You can try as hard as you can, but without the blessings of the Vaishnavas and the Guru, you cannot do it. Krishna reveals himself in his name according to your humility. That's all. Nothing else. No other formula. There never will be, and there never was, in this age of Kali Yuga. Yes.
You, first point you said that one should be a humble servant of other devotees. But from my point is that one's third apradha, offense is not following the instruction of his spiritual master. If his spiritual master is giving particular instruction, we are not ready to follow, but we want to follow the instruction of the servants of his spiritual master. So there is contradiction between the two.
There is only a contradiction because your mind is a contradiction. Tell me, where is the contradiction?
Certain instructions sometimes we don't follow.
Give an instance, an example.
Several times Guru says you do particular thing, but when we feel that this is very heavy instruction, so we don't follow those instructions. But the instruction given by the devotees, we are ready to follow. Several times you know several things.
But that is not being this humble servant. Is the Guru not a devotee? Are you separating Krishna from Guru from being a devotee? Guru is a devotee. He's a supreme devotee. If you're not humbly serving him, then you're not humbly serving the devotees. Correct? When we speak of serving the ultimately, we're only trying to serve one person, and that is Guru. But it is his order that we serve all Vaishnavas with humility. It is in pursuance of his order that we are doing so. But if you neglect his order, his principal order to you, then you are not properly following his instruction. You are not serving the devotees. Or you're considering everybody a devotee except him. That is the third offense, to disobey the order of the Guru. But if you are not the servant of the servant, then you are trying to bypass the number one instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Guru is only representing him and nothing more. Correct? So there is no contradiction. Yes, stand in. Can everyone hear? In the back, everyone can hear?
Maharaj, this is their experience of almost all the devotees who come into spiritual life.
Speak loudly.
This is the experience of, I think, almost all the persons who are coming into spiritual life, that as and when we come into spiritual life, actually Maya used to try to give all sorts of opportunity for us to just to go against the spiritual life and try to be more attracted to Maya. And as and when we go on against Maya, the floor of material desire, the floor of opportunities of all material gains and all other things is getting increased by increase, so that we are more attracted to Maya rather than going through spiritual life. And then afterwards it has been observed, Maharaj, that it becomes so much that at every opportunity, at every time, we have to have a battlefield with Maya. At every point of time, there is a battle, and we have to just fight for it. Now, I think it's per second there is a battle. Per second, something has been attracted, and we have to defend for it. We have to just say, no, my spiritual life is much more important than this. Now, it is at least, I can say that in a day, at least we might be fighting hundreds and hundreds of times just to go away from material life and have a concentration on spiritual life. Now, sometimes it so happens we get a fatigue type of a thing, we are tired, that, oh, how much time it is just getting, and I just can't find it out, some solution by which it can be completely stopped. After all, we are a neophyte person, we are not so much strong enough in having that type of a battlefield. Can you find out some solution by which somewhat or other, somewhere or other, we, of course, when we are in a fatigue state, that time we find it very difficult to advance the spiritual life. So kind of find out some way or the other, when we are in a fatigue stage, at that time we get a relief as such.
What is that?
I was asking, how do we reach the fatigue stage?
You're tired? We kept you up too late last night?
His eyes are swollen, Maharaj.
We must, in that condition, which is inevitable in the battle against Maya, we must go where we can find strength regularly. That strength is in the association of devotees who are enthusiastic to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And in that association, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And in that association, to take Krishna's prasadam. If you always take shelter of this simple process, Krishna will always provide for you the strength to continue the fight, spiritual warfare. But if you think you can make it on your own, you will soon be defeated. Yes, not to be Prabhu.
Can you give a personal inspiration or your own experience on what he said? How you have been able to defeat Maya? You might be inspired by that.
Last night I was feeling very tired, but when I saw Shukadev Goswami Maharaj dancing, Maya not only retreated, but she withdrew all of her forces and accepted all Krishna's resolutions. Yes.
As in one of your lectures, you mentioned that there is a very much laziness in this age of Kali. So, how to overcome this laziness? Why this laziness, one, and how to overcome this laziness?
We overcome laziness by performing tapasya, austerity. Tapasya means willingly, voluntarily accepting hardships, difficulty, inconveniences in order to further our service to our spiritual master. Tapasya is a most important part of spiritual progress. Laziness comes due to attachment to sense gratification. We become, to the degree we're attached to sense gratification, we become lazy about spiritual matters. To the degree we are giving up sense gratification, to that degree we will have the power to be enthusiastic in devotional service. So we have to analyze, take an inventory of our life. And we have to honestly, before Krishna, see where I am enjoying too much sense gratification and where I can utilize that same time to render service. It will be hard, it will be difficulty. But if you are not willing to accept that difficulty, you are not worthy of the enthusiasm for devotional service. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say, first deserve, then desire. We're expecting Krishna to give us enthusiasm, but we have to show him we want it by tapasya. If we are not willing to deserve, Krishna will never fulfill our desire. Yes.
Previous question of Ashok Parikh. You said that we must have association of devotees. But we have seen in last 10, 12, 15 years that several people were in association of devotees and still they left movement. They were very close friends of ours. And just in previously, I have come to know that they were 95% of Rupa. They were constant in temple and they were sannyasi or they were not in New Vrindavan, not even here. Just like I accidentally I uttered name of Jagannath Puri Maharaj. So in spite of the fact the people are in association of devotee, they actually, Maya is attacking so much, or not this particular example, and then people leave movement.
If you're drowning in the ocean and someone throws you a rope, and you say, hold on to the rope and you will not drown, As soon as you let go, you start to drown. When we're talking about associating with devotees, we are not speaking of doing it for 1 or 2 years. We are doing it, saying, throughout your life. As soon as you let go, you drown. Those persons you're talking about, they let go. Correct? When we speak about associating with devotees, we're not speaking of what you've done in the past. We're speaking of what you must do now. That we have to think in terms of now. We can't think in terms of yesterday. Yesterday I associated, but now I'm not. The austerity is to continuously, regularly associate with devotees. It is like a patient who's taking medicine, and then he stops taking the medicine. And then he says to the doctor, well, I was taking the medicine, so why am I not still taking the medicine? Huh?
It means, according to you, by this, every movement we require association.
Every movement we need the association. That does not mean physically simply being in the presence. That means following the instruction of the spiritual master, which is to regularly associate with devotees. As soon as we think we can take our spiritual life in our own hands, we lose Krishna's mercy.
Physical, not physical association, and still association is not very clear.
Regular association. If your guru orders you to live in the temple, you must live in the temple. If he sends you to Africa or Russia, or if he sends you to some distant land, if you are serving his order in that place, and you are coming to meet him and his devotees according to his desire, then you are constantly in their association. This is what it means. And plus, you can be in the physical presence of devotees and not be associating with them. Because association of devotees is taking shelter. You are not taking shelter, you are not truly in that association. If you're trying to present yourself as a great soul, you're not really accepting the association of others, are you? You have to be humble to associate with devotees, or at least you have to be trying to be humble. Even if you're extremely proud, if you're trying to humble yourself before the devotees, then you'll never leave. Because if you're trying to be humble, you'll do what they say. Pride is the singular reason for fall down. Even if one loses control of his senses, if he's humble, or trying to be humble, it's just a matter of time till Krishna rectifies him. If a first person breaks all four regulative principles, if he's trying to be humble, he's better off than someone strictly following all four regulative principles but is proud and not taking shelter. Because that person's going to fall deep down in due course of time if he doesn't give up his pride fast. But a person who is trying to be humble, Krishna says, very soon I make him righteous because he's rightly situated.
How to understand that one has pride?
Whether one is humbling, one is, whether one is accepting the shelter and the guidance and the association of devotees, or whether one thinks, I know better. If someone leaves, what does that mean? That they feel that they know better. If they feel that I'm just too fallen, Krishna ultimately is in their heart. But still, they feel, I know better in my fallen condition, I know better, I should go. Or if a person is feeling, these devotees are not advanced enough for me, so I know better, I should go. To take shelter of the association of devotees means I need them, I'm dependent on them. Huh? I need the blessings of my guru that are coming through my god brothers and god sisters. Without them, I'm a fish out of water spiritually. This is what it means to associate with devotees properly.
Once in a month or once in 15 days, practical side of it. Associational devotee means of coming and just attending one lecture and going back, that is also considered associational devotee?
It depends what you do when you go back. Are you going back into a material life? Or are you accepting the enthusiasm and the direction that you have received and you pursue the order of your guru and Krishna? That is the question. Yes. The position of such a person is that that person is unfortunate. Because such a person does not know what he's preaching. If you're not preaching association of devotees, you're not preaching Vaishnava philosophy. And if you're preaching association of devotees, but you don't want the association of devotees, then you're not really preaching. In the Vaishnava school, we don't preach only with our words. We must preach with our words and our example. This is the necessity, the duty of every preacher, to strive, to struggle, to preach with our words and our example. Now, if that person is trying to preach by the causeless mercy of Guru, if that person is very fortunate, through preaching, one will become purified and learn how to associate with devotees. But if we do not learn how to associate with devotees, then it is just a matter of time till we must fall. Yes.
Earlier you said we should serve all Vaishnavas. Now I find that some people like to serve some Vaishnavas but not others. So what's the fate of those people?
In pursuance of our instruction coming from Gurudev, we serve the order of those Vaishnavas, and we try to please those Vaishnavas that bring us closer to Him, those who are faithful to Him, those who are devoted to Him. And all other Vaishnavas, we serve them by offering respectful obeisances. we should not criticize other devotees. To become the servant of the servant. So we especially want to serve those who are serving the servants of our master. Our master is our spiritual master. So those who are serving him, and those who are serving his servants, and those who are serving the servants of his servants, we should be very anxious to please those devotees. To actually please those devotees, somehow or other. That should be our meditation. And others, other Vaishnavas, we should offer them all respects. Yes.
By serving Maharaj, sometimes the mind has the tendency to take things for granted. In other words, Maharaj, familiarity breeds, and from familiarity, contempt breeds. In that case, what should be done?
If you're becoming familiar, it is for one of two reasons. One, which you must be very careful of, is the basis of your association is something material. Krishna Katha is not what you speak about. Gramya Katha. We start talking about other things besides devotional service and Krishna consciousness together. We start doing things together that really have nothing directly to do with serving your spiritual master or Krishna. If you engage in those activities or those discussions with other devotees, then you can become very materially familiar. Spiritual familiarity brings love. Material familiarity breeds contempt. We should never become familiar on the basis of material interactions. Now, sometimes people become familiar even with their guru. Obviously, he is not putting anything material between you and him. This is something that we must become very, very seriously cautious of, because this is a great trapping of Maya. And the way to do so is to always approach the spiritual master that I do not know anything. We should remind ourselves that it is an injunction that if you think that you are learned and try to show your learnedness in front of your guru, this isn't an offense to God. And this will create the punishment that God gives you, is that he will create a familiarity, contemptuous consciousness. Therefore, we should maintain a state of formality. See, guru-disciple relationship is not like Krishna's relationship. Although the guru is the representative of Krishna, Krishna, you can be his servant, you can be his friend, you can be his mother or father, or you could be his lover. But guru, there's only one relationship. He is master, you are servant. So therefore, to always place a sense of formality between guru and disciple is very important. Because if we do not, our tendency, our whimsical tendency will be that we become too materially familiar.
can in that case, Maharaj, one disassociate with the person who is being familiar with?
Why are you familiar? For which of those two reasons?
Maybe, Maharaj, because of materially familiarity.
So the best thing is to keep Krishna in the center. That is how you will please the spiritual master best. By discussing amongst each other how to put Krishna in the center. If that is not possible, then you should offer all respects to that person, and you should seek out those persons who you can keep Krishna in the center of your relationship, and develop intimate relationships with such persons. Yes?
So, as an extension of this, this also applies to family members. Because very often in a family, we try to keep Krishna in the center and someone or the other is not interested. I think this is happening very often. And so we should disassociate with those members of the family who are not interested in Krishna, or just keep formal
relations. If for such persons who are not interested in Krishna, whether they're in the family or outside the family, we give the association of Krishna. We do not take the association of Maya. We do not take their association. We give Guru's association. And those persons who are Krishna conscious, we desperately take their association. Speak louder.
Can you just clarify what is give and take means? How we can give association, how we can take it? How we can feel it that we are taking association and we are giving association?
It's very simple. What is the instruction of Krishna and Guru? If that person is helping you to follow the instruction of Guru, then you should take his association. If that person is trying to divert your attention away from the instruction of Guru, then you should give him your Guru's association by giving him that instruction through your words. And if they're not willing to hear your words, they will see your lifestyle. If you deviate from the instruction, that means you are taking Maya's association through them. But if you give them Krishna consciousness by your words and instruction, then you're giving Guru's association to them. Is that clear?
In continuation of this, the people, as Naji asked question for the clarification, that some people are not interested in Krishna consciousness, and you are saying that we should give the mercy of Lord. Now here, sometimes they are envious. So how, according to Bhagavad Gita, we can give association to those people who don't, they are not interested to listen about Krishna, they are not interested to listen about Guru. And that type of people, that's the offense we are committing by giving them association.
If they are not in your family, you should have nothing to do with such persons. If they're not willing to take your association. If they are in your family, just go on with your Krishna consciousness and pray for them. But do not engage in what they take enjoyment in doing. That is most important. And gradually, by your example, they will become purified. And if you become a pure devotee, they will get liberated. Huh? Hiranyakashipu did not accept Prahlad's association. But because Prahlad did not accept his association, Prahlad carried out the order of his guru, Narada Muni, despite all obstacles from his own father and his own brothers. All of his family was liberated. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Maharaj, for getting purification, chanting itself is the one of the remedies. Whereas when we start chanting, in the initial stage we take it very great concentration. After few rounds, it disturbs with great thoughts. Nowadays we got a timing adjustment. Within an hour, we cannot even complete 50% of concentration in chanting. When the time gets over, as though we cannot concentrate properly. What is the reason for it? Because purification, the chanting itself is done for purification. Your illusion comes all the time.
When your concentration becomes difficult, when your concentration becomes very difficult, that is the time when you could best make spiritual advancement. When it is easy to chant, and it's blissful, and it tastes like nectar, then it's fun. But when it tastes like poison, that's the time you could make the best spiritual advancement. If you try with all intensity. Krishna is concerned with how much you're trying to please him by concentrating on the holy name. He's not concerned with the concentration. He's concerned with how much you're trying to concentrate. Concentration in and of itself is not the expression of bhakti. It's the endeavor for concentration, to please Guru and Krishna. That is where bhakti comes in. Now, if it's easy, it takes less endeavor, so there's less bhakti. But if it's terribly difficult, then it takes tremendous effort to concentrate. That means it takes more bhakti. And Krishna says it's only through bhakti that I reveal myself. So when your mind starts going crazy with other thoughts, you should think, my God, this is Krishna's mercy. Now I have such a good opportunity to go back to Godhood.
At the beginning itself, we get so much disturbance. So we should think that we are advancing.
Yes. But that disturbance must be because we're trying so hard to concentrate. Then we know we're advancing. If it's because we're trying so hard to concentrate, if it's simply disturbance, without that intense effort to concentrate, then that is simply material consciousness. Everyone is disturbed in this world. When you try to control your mind, then you start getting a glimpse of how really disturbed you are. Huh?
Coming back to the association of devotees, the next question is, having got the association of devotees, what do we do? What do we do in the association of devotees? Sometimes we may physically have the association of devotees, but we forget to ask ourselves questions like, what should we talk about? What should be the subject matter of the talk? How should we talk? How should we behave? And sometimes we tend to deviate into gossip, which may appear to be very devotional. How do we best make use of this association of devotees by using our time and association properly for the right things?
Krishna consciousness means keeping our consciousness on Krishna. Association of devotees means one thing only, that we are helping one another to keep our consciousness on Krishna. Otherwise, we're not associating with devotees. So Krishna is within the sound of his name. When we're having nice kirtan together, and we're, by our enthusiasm, we're trying to inspire one another to be conscious of Krishna's name. That is perfect association. Krishna's in his words. He has spoken Bhagavad Gita. When we hear class, factually, you are all associating with one another now. Because by your wakefulness and eagerness to hear, you are creating an atmosphere which is conducive for other people to be awake and eager to hear. Sometimes at our programs, guests see devotees falling asleep during the discourses. And the guests are not going to take the subject matter seriously. They're thinking, if the devotees are not even interested, it must not be very interesting. Huh? You're generating tamaguna in the middle of the lecture and influencing everyone else's life by that mode of nature. But if you're really trying to be attentive, as I say, even if you can't be attentive, if you're trying to be attentive, then you're creating a devotional mood and you're serving all the other Vaishnavas. So this is association with devotees. Or when you're individually speaking or interacting, the topic that we exchange should either be how we can best serve our spiritual master and his mission, and how we can best glorify Krishna. That's all. We have nothing else to discuss amongst each other.
In other words, association should not be taken to be a formality where I come to associate with devotees physically once a week or twice a week. It should be a matter of consciousness.
Jesus condemned the Pharisees of Israel by saying, you have a form of religion, but you have forgotten the spirit of power behind it. The tendency is that we think the form is the thing itself. But it is the spirit of devotion that is the true thing. The form is meant to awaken that spirit of devotion. So in the association of devotees, we must understand what is the spirit of associating with devotees.
not just sitting there with devotees. That is not real. That is just the form. But the spirit is that we are coming together to help one another, to be inspired, to keep our attention fixed on the order of the spiritual master. Huh? Which is to always remember Krishna. That is the spirit. And that spirit must be amongst us. Otherwise, like so many other congregations within churches, temples, and so forth, it becomes dead. And they're attached to the form, but they've forgotten the spirit. The spirit is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. That is why we come together. There's no other reason. And when we discuss practical devotional service, even if it be management, we are discussing how to spread the glories of the hearing and chanting of Krishna's name. We must make the order of our guru our life and soul. And the association of devotees is in that spirit. Then we are truly associating with devotees. Otherwise we are not. Anyone? Yes?
Maharaj, Prabhupada said chanting is the means and the goal. So the person is chanting. Prasadam is not different from Krishna, but the person having Prasadam. And he is considering himself to be a fallen soul, respect, offering respect to all devotees. But when it comes to the service part, this is not very strictly followed by a person. So what is the position of such a devotee?
Say that again. Just the last part.
When it comes to the service part of the rendering service, he's not able to do it. He doesn't want to do it. That's why he's not able to do it. Secondly, he doesn't have time. There are many excuses for that. So what is the position? All other things being followed, but not the service part.
When we chant, we are begging the Lord for service. The spiritual master tells us we must chant sincerely. Correct? That is the most important qualification, is sincerity. If we are simply sincere, we will go back to Godhead. That's all that is required. Now, if you're chanting sincerely, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? And then someone, and then God's representative says, here is some service. And you say, no, I don't have time. Then how sincerely are you chanting? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sincerity means you're willing, when you ask a question, sincerity means you're willing to do it. You're asking with a willingness to do. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is a prayer, my dear Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. Now if you're sincere when you're chanting, then you have every intention while you're chanting of doing. When Krishna reciprocates and gives you service, that service is His divine reciprocation with your chanting. It's His mercy. He hears your prayer and He's reciprocating. He's accepting your love and He's giving you His in exchange by reciprocating. You're asking for service, He's giving.
That is his love. That is his mercy. If you say, no, I don't have time, then you are unfortunate. But it is better for that person to continue chanting and try more and more by the association of devotees to become sincere. It is a third class level of chanting, but one should strive to become more sincere. Through service we develop a service attitude. Only then can we approach the name properly. Yes.
My question pertains to the attack of Maya being discussed by Your Holiness in the beginning. So, it is often told by all the spiritual masters and also revealed from all the scriptures that whatever happens, even falling off a leaf from the tree, is by just by the sweet will and wish of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can this attack of Maya be said to have caused by the will and wish of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna?
Yes, it is a test. And every test is only meant to make you stronger. If it wasn't for tests, just like what Ashok was saying, the order of the spiritual master should be our motivation, not distress. Krishna says there's four types of people that approach him. One who is in distress, one who is in poverty, one who is inquisitive, and one who is sincerely desiring to know the absolute truth. They're all on the right path. Through distress, poverty, and inquisitiveness, we must ultimately come to the fourth stage of sincerely desiring to know the absolute truth. But generally, unless we're smashed, unless we're crushed, we'll never come to that stage of genuinely trying to understand the absolute truth. That is the problem. So therefore, when Maya attacks, and when there's some distress or some poverty condition in our life, we become serious. That's a test. Now the question is, do we give up Krishna at that time and say, Krishna, I didn't become a devotee for this? Or we accept, Krishna, I need you more than ever. This is your mercy. I was becoming very complacent. Now I only have you. Now I'm losing faith in Maya. Due to my attachment to Maya, I was thinking that these things would help me. But now I see that Maya is fickle. She doesn't stand behind her promises. We should see that the tests of Maya, if we're trying to be Krishna conscious, we will lose all faith in Maya. And we'll put our complete faith in Krishna alone. But we have to come to that platform where we don't always have to be crushed. Where we will have unconditional, unmotivated devotion to Krishna. Whether I have everything or nothing, I will be just as enthusiastic to serve my Gurudev. That must be the platform that we're striving to attain. But in the neophyte condition, without tests, without tribulations, we become complacent. We become lazy. We do not understand the urgency of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Krishna's mercy as he gives us these conditions of life, only to increase our devotion. Everything that comes into a devotee's life is only meant to increase his devotion. Everything.
But Maharaj, when other devotees, they come across such a devotee who is just frustrated by such an attack of Maya, what the other devotees can do for him?
Preach to him.
Now, if any person is just frustrated and keeping himself away from Krishna consciousness, due to the attack of Maya, What is the duty of his colleagues or his associates?
I just told you, preach to him. Preach just what I am explaining. That this is Krishna's love. This is a test to make you stronger. Accept it, you'll become stronger. Reject Krishna, and you will be unfortunate. Every school has tests for children. Tests are always difficult. But without those tests, we never realize the subject matter. We never understand the importance of learning the subject matter. If a near-death experience comes and you immediately understand, my God, I'm not really very Krishna conscious, how I've been wasting my life. Huh? And then if you come out of that near-death experience, if you're intelligent, you'll understand, death could come at any moment, I have to become very serious now. Right? Tests are meant to awaken within us a sense of urgency, how I must become Krishna conscious. Krishna is my only shelter. A neophyte devotee must be tested again and again. And the advanced devotees, they do not need to be tested. But Krishna puts them through tests just to show the neophytes, through their example, how they are passing the test so gloriously, with great faith in Krishna. Huh? Krishna will never test you greater than you can overcome if you are simply sincere. Because Maya cannot test you without Krishna's sanction. If Krishna sanctions Maya to test you, then you must know it's for your good. And it's just exactly what you need. And it is.
Maharaj, Krishna knows us very well. Rather, we know ourselves. So, what is the need of test? He knows our mind, heart, everything he knows. Even our will is also controlled by him. Then, what is the need of test? It is not necessary.
The need is not for him, it's for you.
No.
Yes.
My question is in continuation with Ramana Prabhu. While seeking association, some devotees are very childish. Some devotees are very heavy. Some devotees talk about philosophy. They take out your things and say it is the duty of Grahastha to give the devotees to the brahmacharis. In such case, it is really irritating. So one doesn't feel that he should go to and meet devotees. What one should do about this?
Become a little Krishna conscious. This type of question is nonsense. This is a question of a person who does not want to be surrendered, but wants to think himself a good devotee. This is the question of a person who wants to be a devotee by name only, but not by quality. We should not... A grihastha who is sincere about Krishna consciousness wants to give as much as he can. What are the brahmacharis doing with whatever money comes? What are they doing with it? Do they keep anything? Do they use anything for their own sense gratification? They're simply utilizing these things to increase the mercy of the guru to the world, to give the world the opportunity to receive guru kripa. That's all. The more they pressurize us, the more we should feel grateful that without this pressure, I'll probably give nothing. That's their mercy upon me. They're trying to engage me in my guru's mission. If you have a boil and someone squeezes it, it hurts like hell. But if you have healthy skin, you could squeeze it as hard as you can and there's no pain. So if when we get squeezed to do more devotional service, if it causes us pain and distress and frustration, that's not due to their squeezing. It's their duty to squeeze. That's due to an intense infection within our own heart. And if we're healthy, no matter how much they squeeze, we like it. We think, yes, whatever I can, I'll give. Whatever I can, I'll help. It's for my guru's mission. Yes.
This is regarding Western etiquette. He says sometimes many of the senior devotees who are lecturing or talking, they sit on a higher platform to speak and address other people. But many times, even otherwise, people who are not supposed to sit up would sit on the same rank or the same level with them rather than sitting down on the floor. Is it not even at a physical level, you should be taking a lower seat and putting the person higher?
It depends on the time and circumstance. Generally, that is the case. Generally, that is the case. But it is also a matter of time and circumstance of what will please that senior Vaishnav most. Because etiquette is to please. Etiquette is, there's the spirit of why we, it's like there's the form and the spirit. The spirit of Vaishnav etiquette is to please that senior Vaishnav. If by strictly following a particular type of etiquette, if we're simply an annoyance to him, then what is the use?
Unless that person is asked to sit on the same level, it's fine. But till that time, I think it won't be okay if all of us, only of us, should not sit down.
It depends on your relationship with that person. If that person is your guru, of course. If you're god brothers and god sisters, it depends on the particular relationship you have with him. But in general, someone who has a higher position than us, we should be anxious to take a lower place. That is the general rule. Yes.
This is regarding earlier what you said about austerity. We are constantly told in our movement that in spiritual life is actually misery in the beginning, but it's nectar in the end. Just opposite from material life. But that means should we look for any nectar, a different type of nectar, because that is the root cause of having difficulty in accepting austerity, because we feel that by performing austerity there is something beyond, a different type of nectar, maybe a spiritual nectar, or the nectar anyway. Or is it that we have to reconcile ourselves that it is a struggle being, we'll be unhappy all the time? And how do we reconcile this happiness and not having nectar?
You'd always be looking for nectar. But we
must know where nectar is. Nectar is in tapasya. Always be seeking nectar. But we must know what is nectar, and where nectar is, and where nectar isn't. Nectar is in the holy name, so we should seek the nectar of the holy name. Nectar is in the association of devotees chanting the holy name. We should seek that nectar of chanting the holy name. Nectar is in following the order of the spiritual master. We should always be ambitious to taste that nectar. But understand that nectar doesn't always taste like nectar. If you have jaundice, that which is sweet tastes bitter. But you must continue tasting the sweetness, and then gradually it will be sweet.
So there will be a time when nectar will taste like nectar.
Yes.
Now we can taste prasad, Maharaj.
That time is in about 5 minutes. Yes, Mahaprabhu.
Maharaj, coming to the nectar again. Sometimes we feel that real nectar will be in a particular thing by austerity. But we are somehow or other holding up. I feel I can do more, I can give more, I can serve more, I can preach more. Krishna has given me so much resources and so much thing, and I am not using that nectar. And that's why we are feeling uncomfortable in that situation. But somehow or other, we are not able to take that tapasya, because these holding up things making me happy, but I'm uncomfortable.
What is the question now?
We'll take together. Nectar in the beginning is, you see, again, we find it difficult. We know that this is nectar, and we have certain things with us, and we feel and I feel, instead of, I can do more in every respect, but I'm holding them up because I'm attached to them.
Attached to who?
Attached to those material things. Today is his birthday, Maharaj.
Today's your birthday. Mahaprabhu ki. Mahaprabhu ki. Mahaprabhu ki.
Mahaprabhu Maharaj ki. Mahaprabhu Swami ki.
Happy birthday. Our attachment should only be for Krishna. And Krishna is available only through pleasing Guru and Krishna. By pleasing the spiritual master, we come to Krishna. So our attachment should only be for pleasing the spiritual master. And we should become detached from everything outside of that. We may have responsibilities in this world, that are not directly what we would conceive of pleasing our spiritual master. If it is our spiritual master's desire that we maintain those responsibilities, then that service in itself is pleasing our spiritual master. But our attachment should not be for those things or those people. It should be for pleasing our guru. Just like in the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to take sannyas immediately, but every time he went, his parents, his mother and father, who were Vaishnavas and who were extremely wealthy, they would forcibly kidnap him, tie him with ropes and bring him back home. At one time they had, I believe it was 11 guards guarding him at all times. So at one time, escorted by all these guards, he went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him that I'm just bound up by the rope of material attachments. I want to get loose. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should go back home. He said, you should serve your family in such a way that they do not know that you're not attached to them. But you should never be attached to them. You should only be attached to Krishna. And he used the example that if a woman is in love with someone else other than her husband, she'll serve her husband in such a way that he will not suspect that she has another lover. But in her heart, she's constantly thinking of that lover only. He said, this is my order to follow this instruction. He said, and when it is Krishna's arrangement, you will be freed forever from this type of association. What time is it now? So prasadam is ready? Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasado. The spiritual master takes great pleasure in seeing devotees eat bhagavat. See that van in the driveway? I'll give it to you. And I'll give you 3 brahmacharis, and I'll give you $1,000 a week. Right? So he did it. He gave it all to him. He gave him a van, 3 brahmacharis, and all these brahmacharis were people that came from my preaching. Brought them and cooked for them and like little babies I was caring for them, living with them sometimes, sent them to New Vrindavan and then I never saw them again, you know. So he gave all 3 of these brahmacharis, there was more, but he gave 3 of them, the best, to Sridhar Swami, $1,000 a week in van. Beautiful. With beds in it and everything. So I just, out of curiosity, I approached Srila Bhaktipad. And I said, Bhaktipad, what year was that? 84. So I was doing college preaching for about 4 years now. I still had no money. Because anybody that I would start making Krishna conscious if they had money, as soon as they met Bhaktipad, he would take all their money. So I was always poor. So what happened is, I went to Bhaktipad and I said, Bhaktipad, you know, I've been your faithful devotee for 12 years now. You know, I've never left you. And and we've made maybe about 20 college students, devotees. They're living here, they're surrendering, they're doing service. I said, I don't even, I have this old broken down car, and I don't even have money for gas. And I still don't have anyone to travel with or associate. I said, you know, Sridhar Maharaj, I'll respect him, but what has he ever done for you? And you're giving him everything. And Bhaktipad looked at me. And it was one of those looks that capture your heart. He said, that is because I love you. He said, anybody can do what he's going to do with all these facilities. He said, but he will not become empowered by Krishna the way I'm dealing with him. I just want to engage him in devotional service. He said, because he is not so dear to me, I'm giving him so much. But he said, because you are so dear to me, I give you nothing. And whatever you make on your own, I take it away. He said, because this is the way Prabhupada started this movement. He came to America with nothing and no one. And because he was willing to persevere under those conditions, he was supremely empowered by Krishna. And he said, and this is the way I started New Vrindavan. I came here with nothing and no one to help me. But because by Prabhupada's inspiration, I stayed here year after year after year through torturous poverty, Krishna has empowered me to build this community. He said, if I give you anything, I will cheat you of the opportunity to become empowered according to myself and Prabhupada's example. Therefore, he said, it is out of love. And he said, someday you will appreciate this. Because anyone can surrender when they have whatever they want. Surrender means to completely depend on the mercy of Krishna and to continue your service unconditionally, whether you're giving everything or nothing. Huh? Well, this is the gift that is coming back to us. And our good fortune is if we open our hearts with simplicity and acceptance.